I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Sunny day.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care.
Hey.
It's just a sunny day.
KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us on this rainy first day of spring for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chalaos and Ton Bettis with you this morning. We are taking your calls, 801-575-8255. You can also text us your questions at 57500. We wanted to start the morning talking about the pros and cons of raised beds. And first of all, start with the pros. What are the benefits, Ton, of raised beds?
Well, it depends on the goals of folks, but if, let's say, you are living in high-density housing and don't have a lot of room and an HOA that doesn't really want you tilling up the grass, well, if you have a patio area, you can create some raised beds to garden in, and so there are advantages for that. So the other thing that's nice about raised beds, if you're getting on in age or for some reason have some disabilities, then you can raise them up off the ground to a point that you can get a wheelchair or stand next to them while minimizing pressure on your back or legs, depending on the situation.
Right. Well, so what are the cons then?
Well, some of the things that I caution people about is that raised beds aren't magic. You're not going to get higher crop yields than what you would in a regular garden. It's just that there are situations that they can be more convenient. And so if you have a quarter acre yard or even a fifth acre and have room for a garden, it's going to be a lot less expensive to grow crops in your garden, and you most likely will get the same yields or even maybe a little better than what you would in a raised bed.
I've wondered this because it seems like raised beds are just, you know, the rage, and people with even large plots of land are putting their gardens in these boxes.
They are, and in some of these raised bed systems, like the Mitt Leader we talked about last week, square foot gardening comes up quite a bit. There's several systems out there, and they're intensively managed. And so in those systems that are intensively managed, you may get higher yields than what you would in a normal raised bed, but they can be expensive and a lot of work if you don't know, you know, how to manage them. And because the soil, if it's completely artificial, you're changing it out, you know, every 3 years and a few things like that. There are people do like them, and it's just one of these things that it gives you a hobby, and they are very decorative too.
I was going to say, yeah, so, there is the look of it.
Yes. But if you're just in it for the food production, there oftentimes isn't a good reason to make raised beds if you have soil in your garden.
All right. So what should people think about when they're deciding how they're going to use their space? What should they think about?
What crops do I want first? Because a smaller raised bed would be, you know, this a little more shallow, say 6 inches, would be fine for things like lettuce and beets and salad greens and maybe even peppers. But if you were growing, say, tomatoes, and even if they are the determinant types that stay smaller, then you're going to need a bigger raised bed because that tomato will grow 3 feet high and wide and crowd out other crops around it.
Right. And you have put up an article, or Caitlin has put up an article,
yes,
on the KSL Greenhouse page, kind of outlining the pros and cons of raised beds.
They have. And there's lots of alternative options. We've had like Matt Gench on in the past, who has a book out about, you know, raising crops in a 25-gallon barrel or a big tree pot. There's, you know, so those options are out there. You know, we're going to be having Utilite on later in a little bit. And if you're making your own soils, which people sometimes just like to tinker, so things like Utilite can be incorporated into those raised bed mixes to create some drainage, but also some nutrient holding capacity. So there's lots of things you can do. And a lot of times people will put these in not only just because of the decor, but because they do like to tinker.
Right. And we do have Scott Jensen with us now from Utilite Ton. And Scott, really, you know, making sure your soil is the best is really the first thing you have to do. And you guys have a brand new product to tell us about. Tell us about Soil Builder Max.
Yeah, definitely. We're super excited about the our Soil Builder Max. We've been advertising our soil conditioner for quite some time with KSL, and the listeners are very familiar with it. So we've combined the benefits of the soil conditioner that a lot of people have used over the years to help break up their heavy clay or their hard compacted soils. We've combined that benefit with some nutrient-rich compost, some composted quality organics, as well as some other soil additives to create kind of an all-purpose soil amendment, if you will, for your gardens or for your landscaping or whatever you're trying to landscape or plant in your yard. The Soil Builder Max is going to help improve that soil and get you started off right.
You know, often people go into the garden center and they're overwhelmed with the number of products. What sets Soil Builder Max apart from all the others?
Definitely. It can certainly be overwhelming when you go into a nursery and there's 10 different pallets of 10 different materials and knowing which one's going to be right for your garden or for your grow box. So we've tried to take some of the guesswork out of it. We've tried to combine the best parts of many of those quality products and put it all into one bag. So like I mentioned, we've taken a good quality, nutrient-rich compost. We've had a package of added beneficial mycorrhizae that help all the little biological critters function in your soil. We've added some humates to it, which is also very beneficial. And then it's combined with our Utilite soil conditioner that's famous for breaking up the clay soil. So those combined are going to make it so that it's easy to use and apply, and it's going to work really well to help you get your soil ready for the spring season.
You know, I can see this product being beneficial in areas where people are starting new gardens, that they may have been in an old playground, or they may have parked vehicles, or just in general clay soil. You do need to break up that soil and loosen it, and that this product would be very good for that.
Yeah, definitely. And a lot of people have used our materials and our soil condition over the years. That's exactly what they've done with it. They've have an area that's really heavy or clay, or it's hard compacted and stubborn to break up. They've applied other things that will give them some temporary relief, but the Utilite soil conditioner and the Soil Builder Max is going to help keep that soil all broken up and easy to work with for years to come. So it's going to make it so that that typically unusable space, you can break it up, you can start to grow in it so the roots can properly get deep rooting, they can expand, and most importantly, you can get your plants to establish and last throughout the growing season and hopefully give you higher yields.
Well, Scott, we're glad you're here with us today to tell us more about Soil Builder Max, and we'll talk again with you in just a few minutes here. The number to call with your questions this morning, 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria Chaleos, Ton Bettis with you this morning. Let's get right back to our phone lines. We have Jeanette, who has been waiting very patiently in Ogden. Good morning, Jeanette. How can we help you this morning?
Good morning. I have a question about tulips. I planted some, and I have some that are left over from last year. And just the leaves are coming up. Are they dead? Do I dig them up and throw them away? Then after my tulips, are have bloomed and the leaves start turning brown or yellow. Do I dig them up?
No, not necessarily. So you have a set that you talked about the very first. You said the leaves are coming up. So
yeah, there's some of that I planted a long time ago and I never dug them up, and now they're coming up with just the leaves, and I think they might be. I'm not sure.
They're overcrowded. So tulips and iris and a lot of the bulbs, if you're getting a lot of leaves and few to no flowers, oftentimes are overcrowded. And so what you would do is after they turn yellow and brown, the foliage does, you can take that off and then carefully dig them and space them back out. So that's what I would do with those.
So you don't have to dig them up every year. You can leave them in the bin if they're not crowded.
Yeah, correct. It's usually about every 3 years that you dig them and divide them and space them again. Now, some of the tulips are only, some of the modern hybrid tulips only last 3 or 4 years. And so it's not as much of a concern. But if you have some of the older cultivars or like the Darwin tulips, those can last for years and years. And those will need to be divided every 3 years or so.
Oh, okay. All right, that's what I'll do then. I'll dig those up that are just leafy and separate them and start over.
Great. Sounds good, but wait till they're dormant. If you dig them now, you'll kill them.
Right, okay. And on raspberries, I go to Bear Lake and get my raspberries every year. Eliminates a lot of headache and work.
Yeah,
and they are delicious.
A raspberry shake, get the raspberries, go swimming, and go home.
Great.
Yeah.
Thank
you. That's my idea of raising raspberries.
Thank you so much, Jeanette, for your call today. The next listener, Ton, is saying they have a 35-plus-year-old apple tree that has many tall water spouts, and they stopped pruning them off a few years ago because they heard pruning them stimulated more sprouts. Can they trim them off now? And if so, should they trim them flush with the branches or leave an inch? The tree has also had some powdery mildew, apparently.
Well, they should have probably kept cutting them out. And yes, it does stimulate more, but it also goes back how the tree was initially pruned. So the reason it's recommended that apple trees are pruned with either a central leader or modified central leader system is that those two pruning styles minimize sucker sprouts. When you prune an apple with an open vase ship system like you would a peach tree, then there's no leader in there and all those sucker sprouts are attempting to become the leader. So that's where it is. And so once you have that pruning system and the tree is about as tall as you want it, you can leave some of them in pruned back by about 2/3 to stimulate more growth that will eventually become fruit bearing wood. But 80% of them should probably come out.
All right. Let's go to our next caller. That is David in Orem. Good morning, David. How can we help you?
Good morning. I appreciate you taking my call. I have two questions. I'll ask the second one first and then do the main question. I have some Asiatic lilies I want to move to a new place in the yard. So think about how I'm going to transfer those.
Are they actively growing already?
No.
Okay. There's still maybe time for you to dig them and move them. If they are actively growing, you would need to wait until late October into November when they die back.
Okay. My major question concerns what I think is a nightshade. It's a vine that seems to be creeping from my neighbor's yard into my lilac and other shrubs and crawling up them, has little purple and white flowers and red berries.
It sounds like a species of
quite
nightshade.
Sticky.
Yeah.
But that nightshade is spreading even 150 feet away into a backyard. It must be coming from birds dropping the berries and the seeds someplace else. How can I control that nightshade?
You can try a pre-emergent to prevent the seeds from germinating. And nightshades are usually annual, but if it is coming up from a root, you may need to use a lawn weed killer carefully because you can't be spraying that in your lilac. but in areas you can, glyphosate and lawn weed killer would also knock it out.
Okay. I'll give that a try.
And the pre-emergence, if it's in your lawn, I would use is actually one made by BioAdvanced. It's called Season Long Broadleafed Weed Control. And it has a dandelion killer plus pre-emergent. So again, be careful around some of your shrubs and things and follow that label. But that particular pre-emergent is better for broadleaf plants than the normal ones that you put on for crabgrass.
And its name again is?
Season Long Broadleafed Weed Control. It's made by BioAdvanced. It used to be Bayer.
Oh, okay. Season Long.
Yes, Season, like a S-E-A-S-O-N, Season Long
right.
Broadleafed Weed Control.
Thank you very much for your help.
All right. Thank you for your call this morning. Our next listener, Ton, is asking, when is a good time or when? What is a good fertilizer for roses and how soon and how often should they fertilize them?
Well, if they have the hybrid tea roses that they're forcing blossoms on all summer long, there are several they can use. Now, there's a lot of products that are rose foods that are just fertilizers that are fine. But if they were to use like 2000 or triple 16 and just use a couple of tablespoons around the plant once a month, that would be fine too.
All right. Next person says, where is the best place to plant? Man, I'm getting tongue tied. Where is the best place to plant a hydrangea and what time of year is best to plant?
Most of the hydrangeas are shipped out of California or the Pacific Northwest. And so unless you can find some dormant ones now, generally May, and most of the hydrangeas will benefit from a little bit of afternoon shade, but there are several of them that will take full sun. And so just off the top of my head, oak leaf does require afternoon shade on the east side of your home or north. But if you go with what we would call panicled hydrangea or Annabelle or the members of those same species, both of those will tolerate more sun.
All right. The next listener is asking, they have an indoor lime tree that doesn't seem to blossom and it's about 4 years old and they want to know if they need a grow light for it. They say it sits by a south facing window.
Well, during the winter, a grow light wouldn't hurt, but it's not going to make or break, you know, the plant surviving either. And they'd have to have it within a few inches of the foliage, and they would need enough surface area for the entire bush. Now, if they are pruning it, that would cause it to maybe not blossom because it starts blossoming on newer growth in the fall. So if they're doing some pruning on it, that would prevent it. A lack of sunlight may cause it to not produce blossoms. And then if it's extremely young, it just may be that the branches haven't developed to the point that they are producing blossoms yet.
Our next listener is Brenda, and I'm going to include Scott Jensen from Ute Light, who's with us on this question, too. Brenda is asking, is it necessary to fully replace garden soil in your raised beds every year? And can you just add compost, et cetera? So first of all, Ton, how often do they need to replace the soil?
Every 3 or 4 years if it's an artificial, like commercial mix, because the organic matter portion of it breaks down and loses quality.
Right. And Scott, how can you help? Which of your products will the Soil Builder Max help in this instance?
Yeah, so definitely, as Ton was saying, every couple of years that organic matter will disappear as it's used up. And also a lot of times a healthy garden, the plants, when you pull them out in the late fall, a lot of times it'll pull some of that soil with it. So it's kind of an ongoing replenishing process, especially in container gardens or raised gardens mm-hmm. where a lot of the soil is artificial or like a potting soil. So the Soil Builder Max that we have, it's gonna help replenish that constant removal or that loss of the organic matter. It's going to replenish the nutrients. It's going to replenish that compost that you're constantly adding, and it's going to maintain a good growing place there for your plants when it comes springtime, when it's time to replant again.
So, yeah. So tell people, though, we didn't tell them last go around, where can they find Soil Builder Max?
So it's a new product, and we're trying to get it into as many locations right now as we can. And currently, a lot of the IFA country stores have it. Usually the larger nurseries that we've been in for years, they're going to have it. But maybe your favorite one that's local, it's maybe just down the street, it might be a couple of weeks before it gets in there, but we're reaching out to as many as we can to get it in there, and the orders are coming in. So it shouldn't be too hard to find, and we're super excited that you're willing to try it, and hopefully you will look our website, and if you can't find it on there, you can reach out, and I will track down a spot for you where you can purchase it.
Right. Besides preparing your garden for planting, where else can Soil Builder Max be used in the yard?
Yeah, so a lot of times we think of soil preparation just for gardening, but the reality is whether you're planting a tree or whether you're planting roses or maintaining them, the soil is always important. So anything you can do to add and improve that soil is ultimately going to help the plants perform better. So adding the Soil Builder Max in there, it's going to give you the organic matter it needs, the nutrients it needs, and it's going to give you the kind of structure that the soil needs so that the plants can root and establish really well, giving you the ultimate vegetable yields or the flowering that you're looking for. The soil is always super essential.
Right. Todd, I know you've been talking about and recommending Utilite products for years.
I have. And this new product, one area that I actually think it would be extremely useful with a construction boom right now, a lot of times topsoil is hauled off and sold when you're building new homes, or it's been driven over so much and sat fallow so long that it's lost a lot of those good qualities. And so many times, especially in your garden areas or your flower beds, a product like this mixed into the existing soil would be greatly beneficial.
All right, we're going to take a break for the bottom of the hour news. The number for you to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.